Welcome to the Welding Business Owners Podcast, where our podcasts are late, but our bids are on time. I'm your host, Kevin, with JMW Fabrication. Today, we've got episode 4 with Jason from Apocalypse Fab. In the episode, we talk all about building his home shop and chasing work that really makes you happy. If you haven't listened to the beginning of this, go back and start from the beginning and listen to Jason's first episode so you can get caught back up. If you want to check out more of what Jason does, you can find him on Instagram at apocfab. You can find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast. You can find me personally at JMW Fabrication. So now, enjoy the episode.
Time is the most valuable commodity. So, and it took me a while to understand that. Through my business, was that it doesn't, you know, stop looking at the price so much on something. If it's available and it can get to you sooner, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, to an extent, goes with shipping as well. Like, I'm not going to pay for overnight shipping unless I absolutely have to.
Sure.
Like, that was a bad planning thing by myself. You know, you're not going to put $200 worth of shipping on top of a, you know, $15 item just so I can have it the next morning. Mm-hmm. I'm still not of that plan. I would rather explain to the customer why we don't have that piece.
Yeah. Be like, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot conversation saved you $200. So
yeah.
I would rather just say I'm an idiot and I'm human and I screwed up, you know?
Yeah. But in the same instance, I mean, that's made a lot of difference to me, is if something is available when I need it versus waiting for it because it was a better deal, you know?
Oh, I made that mistake when I was, so we hired, we had a girl, Jamie, who actually works in the shop now, but we hired her to do office work. And I was like, put together a spreadsheet of everything that we have and get pricing. And I told her to shop pricing every time we would go to order stuff. So like, you know, maybe she found the cutoff wheels like 50 cents cheaper over here. And we order like 50 of them. Okay, cool. But it took her like, it was taking her just as much time, if not longer, to go and shop these things around than it was worth the money I was saving. So like, don't, you know, I realized that pretty quickly. I was like, wait a minute, you're taking 4 hours to order stuff that should take like, you know, it should really take about 10 minutes and you save like $17. And took 4 hours. I'm like, this is not adding up. Like, just stop. But it's, you know, that was my part of my learning journey. And, you know, now I'm better off for it. And you just keep on moving, you know?
Definitely.
So with looking back on the journey that you've started on, what would you change differently if you were to do it all over again?
Well, obviously, I'd build a bigger shop. Although that's ridiculous because during the summer, I think it was about 110 degrees out here, and I was working out of the shop, the garage at that point. And I was working on I think it was an F800 dump bed that wasn't going to fit in the garage no matter what, right? So I'm out 110 degrees and I'm welding a liner in this dump bed. And it's just, I'm just boiling because I'm in leather and just, you know, almost heat struck the entire day, chugging water and, you know, you never pee type of deal.
Sure.
And Katie comes home and she goes, "What are you doing?" Like, this got to get done. You know, I've got to work during the hours that I've got to work. Okay. I can't work at night or anything, not here. So that's not going to work. She goes, "You need to build a shop." Okay. I agree with you. And she says, "Just figure out what you need." Okay. So I started looking at it and looking at the property and where we could actually put a shop and that kind of thing. And I said, "Okay, well, we're not going to build a small shop. We're going to build as big a shop as we can get a loan for. And we're not going to insulate it. We're not going to put anything inside of it other than lights and some plugs, you know?"
Yeah.
And I mean, we're going to spend money on the slab and that kind of stuff to make sure that we've got something thick enough that because you can't change that over time. But anything that we can change, we're not going to deal with right now. We're just going to get the biggest shell that we can get. Okay. So we ended up building the 42 by 60. But now, I mean, I would have spent the extra money to put in at least the structure for a bridge crane inside the shop. It's something I deal with constantly, is trying to move around in the shop. I've done it multiple times where I've torn apart two machines because I've got 14 by 14 doors on the 42 foot end. So it's a long shop, longish. And the plasma tables in the back. Done it multiple times. I've torn apart two machines in the two bays and then try to figure out how to get material to the plasma table. That's also why the material rack is next to the plasma table. But yeah, it's just that kind of thing. Like the bridge crane, I feel like someday is going to be a massive efficiency gain for me working by myself. I see shops that have got them, you know, like Curtis CEE on YouTube and Instagram, Australian machinist. He's got a bridge crane in his shop he does massive mining stuff. He's an awesome channel to watch, but he's got a bridge crane in his shop. He works by himself. He had like a 2,000 pound cylinder rod that he was putting into his lathe. And he came in with the forklift, picked it up with a bridge crane, walked it right over to the lathe, put it precisely right into the chuck and the tailstock, no problem at all. So
yep.
Just being able to leapfrog things and do that, I know they're insanely expensive, but that kind of expenditure to be efficient would have been at the beginning, even if I just put the structure in and didn't actually have the crane.
Sure.
If I just had that in the shop already built in, it would save a lot of the hassle that I'm trying to deal with right now with designing around the building.
Yep.
So that's one efficiency thing that I'm really looking forward to building at some point here. So we can stop doing the sketchy stuff with forklifts. Maybe we'll just do sketchy stuff with the crane.
Can you go bigger with your building?
With quite a bit of expense, yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, build it on the outside of your building, build a building around your building, and then knock down the middle, and you'll be set.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an idea. So that's one thing I really wish I had done at the beginning, was design in for that. I didn't realize how cool that would be. I mean, I always knew it was going to be cool, but how efficient it would make me. As far as other things, I don't know. Looking back, it's pretty ideal. We came up real gradually. I did this all on purpose. I spent a lot of time creating business plans, figuring out what kind of money we were going to be spending. Granted, we had some luck there, obviously. I had no idea that the Etsy business was going to be as popular as it was, which, you know, leapfrogged into helping a lot of other things as far as equipment and that kind of stuff. We've been in business for 10, almost 11 years now. Spent it a good solid first 6 years just spending every dime I made with the business back into itself for equipment. And tools, and, you know, just getting myself researching things that make myself efficient constantly. So I feel like with Katie and I both keeping our jobs at the beginning, using investment money it was in a stock market account. I mean, it was making money itself. But what I've learned throughout, you know, the generations of my family now is that your return on investment is never going to be as great as when you're working for yourself.
Yeah.
Your money, equities, accounts, and that kind of stuff they're going to be stable for sure. If you do it right. But you know, they're not going to be, they're not going to be nearly as profitable as you working for yourself. You control that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your laziness controls that.
Sure.
So, and if you're not getting enough demand or something, you need to start hustling and figure out where you can work that will make money, what kind of things you can go towards. So I feel like with our progression, like the phases that we went through earlier, I think we did as good a job as we could have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had some lucky breaks too. But you know, just like Adam dueling with his signs, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. you know, if you're putting in hours, then it's going to get noticed.
Yeah.
And it becomes not luck at that point. So, yeah, I'm really happy and really fortunate to be in the situation that we're in. And just being real conservative with what we expected out of the business. And even to this day, still being conservative with what you think is going to happen. Because it's never bad to be surprised with too much work,
yeah.
You know, and just spend the money as it comes. Don't, you know, don't try to, I mean, there's a point where you need to leverage something in, you know, I feel in business, you need to leverage to make jumps that you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
In your capabilities, in your infrastructure and that kind of stuff. You have to do those things, but try to calibrate those and be conservative with, okay, what happens is if the entire bottom falls out of this, and just having a mindset of tomorrow could be nothing.
Yeah.
You know, how many days of nothing can we handle? So, you know, and tomorrow is not going to be nothing. You know, there's a lot, and just being conservative at the beginning, because at the beginning of the business, it's way more manageable. I remember when, you know, an order online for $100 for tools or something was like, okay, well, that's kind of I can spend under $100 and I feel comfortable with this tool may not work out for me. You know, and then over time that budget gets a lot higher.
Yeah.
You know, I spent, not to say that this is a drop in the bucket now, but I spent FabTech looking at $100,000 automated welding cells.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, that is not a drop in the bucket. Definitely not. But I want to do that so that I can be doing something else. So that I can work on something else, so that these repetitive jobs like the excavator mounts can be welded out with a CNC.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Because I spend a lot of time welding on those projects when it's very simple. There's a few circles there and then there's a bunch of straight lines. So once it's all fixtured and everything, once the robot's programmed and everything, it should be able to handle that with relative ease. So that's another reason to be a big proponent of CNC equipment and get behind that as just being myself, which we've already talked about too. But just how that's scaled in time. I mean, we also have a whole bunch of inflation that we've dealt with too,
yeah.
You know, over the time that we've had our businesses running. and I'm sure every old guy is going to say that too. You know, you remember what a dollar used to buy? Well, it used to buy more even like 2 years ago. So
I remember when steel was 46 cents a pound.
Right.
That was $1.46.
Yeah, I shouldn't have bought the whole damn place. Yeah, so as far as, you know, pitfalls and things that I fell into, it was more just like a mentality thing with the customers. I feel like those were my biggest mistakes, but at the same time, they were the biggest lessons I had.
Mm-hmm.
So, and those are invaluable. Just moving forward is that getting a customer base that you're happy with and telling the other customers that, hey, I don't think we're the right fit.
Sure.
you know, I don't think I'm interested in what you're doing, and I don't think you want to pay me to do what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And being comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, on both sides, not trying to burn bridges or make things impossible for other people just out of spite. You just have to treat it like business, because that's what it is. And you as a business owner, you have a say in this. You know, it's a 50-50. You know, you got to help them out when you can, and they've got to understand. So it took me a while to learn. But the building and like tool buying and that kind of stuff, it's equipment and that kind of thing. Yeah, there's some dumb things that I've bought. And then there's other things that have been amazing that I never thought would be amazing. you know, so the scanner, the 3D scanner, I know theoretically it's going to be very, very good, but right now it's pretty frustrating. But I had the same feeling when I was teaching myself how to do 3D CAD.
Yeah.
Like, and just getting through that step, through that whole learning curve is steep.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably had at least 200 hours into CAD before I was comfortable and finally realized that I could draw something in a more efficient and faster manner than what I could have actually just gone and built it.
Yep. I'm still not there, man. Dave has been trying to help me out with the Fusion 360 for two years now. Oh, probably longer. And I can't devote the time that it takes to do it. And we're actually in the process of working on hiring somebody to do that right now. Cause like, I'm throwing my hands up. I'm done. I'm not going to be doing this in a year. In a year, we're going to need somebody else. So you know what? Let's hire them now, because I am not going to be a CAD guy. I do not want to be a CAD guy. I want to grow this business. And yeah, so I've tapped out of that. And I'm going to look back and be like, oh man, I wish I would have learned how to do that, because that would have been pretty cool. But I know when to cut it, and I just had to cut it and just say, you know what, because I've tried farming it out. I tried having other people do it. I went on Upwork and tried to have people on there do it, and it just does not turn out well. And boy, I've lost so much money on bad shop drawings from myself and Upwork. So it's time to hire somebody else. But
yeah, if I could find a local business to do scanning,
mm-hmm.
I would be all over it right now.
Yeah.
That could hand me out, because yeah, someone that is running a scanning business just from, you know, a mobile standpoint, and they can go out and scan things. Yeah. They can spend $100,000 on a scanner, and it is going to pop out great results. I'm positive of it, especially if somebody knows how to run it, and that's their business. Which, yes, you need to create a network of people that you can rely on, like the laser shop. Laser shop has been great for me, because yes, I can cut all of those pieces, and I have before, but they're in the business of cutting.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the business of cutting. I don't want to stand at the table and just watch endless amounts of spirals be cut, or coasters or anything else.
Yeah.
I want to be, you know, working on the machines that, you know, that I do. And that's, yeah, this phase of the business right now has been, I'm enjoying it a lot, because I have free rein to do the creative things that I want to do.
And let other people be good at what they do.
Yeah. But it's a matter of finding those people too, mm-hmm. finding those shops that care and do a good job. The machinist I'm using for the pins and bushings for the excavator mounts and that, and all of my custom machining, I don't want to be a machinist. He is a great machinist. Now, I have gotten into an issue, and he does great work, does wonderful work, and does it for a very good price point. I'm excited and super happy about that. However, he and I both have a quantity issue. Mm-hmm. We can't push out a lot of quantity on things. And sometimes with the excavator mounts and that kind of stuff, I have a lot of orders that come in that I can build at a certain speed with me cutting the ears, cutting the base plates, welding everything up, line boring. I can handle all of that at a certain speed. Unfortunately, he has other customers.
Yeah.
So he's got his own workload. And so sometimes when my customers require a certain quantity of those mounts, then I can build at a certain rate. So that's why I've bought the CNC lathe now, is to be able to knock out the normal repetitive stuff. Because he's a great machinist that can do custom stuff all day long. Awesome. I can just send him specs and I can rely on him to build something correctly, which is great. But he can't knock out. Last year in February, I had an order for 20 mounts at once. So that's 80 bushings and 40 pins. Yeah. So, and I needed to build those as soon as possible. Well, he wasn't able to get to those very quickly, not as quickly as I could do the rest of the work. So now hopefully this, I don't want to be a machinist. I'm still not going to be a machinist. Yeah. That's why I got a CNC lathe, is hopefully it can slowly build some stock for me so that I've got stuff sitting on the shelf ready to be put together. And it's all set up with, it doesn't have automatic tool changes or anything. And I'm fine with that. At the price point that I was able to buy it at, it's great because I can have it just sit there and wait for a tool change. I'll go over there, change the tool or change the part around or do whatever it needs. Mm-hmm. But it can sit there and blink. It's not going to matter to me. It's still making something progressively.
Sure.
And so when I get a larger order, I will be ready so I can have those parts. And I can also devote, you know, a day to sitting on the lathe and cranking stuff out if I have to. But if I don't have to, it can just sit there and periodically make things, theoretically, in my head.
That's what you said about the plasma table too. So
yeah, which you can't now. So we'll see what happens, right?
Well, that's all for today's episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Check back next week for the fifth and final episode with Jason from Apocalypse Fab. If you guys found value in this episode, I'd appreciate it if you give us a 5-star review on your podcast player or leave us a review wherever you can. It really helps other people find this podcast. If you've got any questions for Jason, reach out to him on Instagram at apocfab. You can find us at Welding Business Owners Podcast. You can find me at JMW Fabrication. And until next time, get out there, get it done, and get it invoiced.